Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Johnny Tan, author of From My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul, Recipes for Living. Welcome to my weekly From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio show. My guest for this morning is Amy Newmark. She is the publisher and editor-in-chief for Chicken Soup for the Soul. In celebrating the spirit of Thanksgiving, Amy and I will be sharing all the things we are thankful for this year. We will also be discussing Chicken Soup's latest edition, 101 Joyful Stories About Love, Fun, and Wonder of the Holidays. Good morning, Amy. Welcome back to From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. How are you doing this morning?
Oh, good morning, Johnny. I'm fine. I'm excited about Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Wonderful. It's great to have you on the air with me this morning. Thanksgiving is only a couple of days away, so let's talk turkey.
Absolutely. We have plenty of turkey stories.
Wonderful, wonderful. How is Chicken Soup for the Soul celebrating Thanksgiving this year?
Well, we're working right up until tomorrow night. Because we have so much to do here. We've got a lot of new product lines, so we're all really busy, but we're having fun. And one of our new product lines is comfort food. Mm-hmm. And what's great about that is it gives us the opportunity to be part of Thanksgiving baskets this year. And so we are actually giving food to the New York City Basket Brigade. We're feeding hundreds of families, and we're donating our wonderful new soups and gravies and other things. It's actually an organization that was inspired by Tony Robbins, and he wrote a story about the Basket Brigade in our original Chicken Soup for the Soul book, the one that we put out 20 years ago that started it all. And so we were able to give Chicken Soup for the Soul food to the Basket Brigade this year. So we're really excited that we're going to be on a lot of dining room tables this Thanksgiving, helping out a lot of people who otherwise wouldn't have been able to afford a Thanksgiving dinner.
That's awesome. That's totally, totally awesome. What are you guys thankful for from a Chicken Soup Corporation standpoint of view this year?
Well, my husband and I, we run Chicken Soup for the Soul, and we were talking about it the other day because we just came back from a long vacation, one we are thankful to have taken because we had been trying to go on this vacation for many years. But when we got back, my husband said to me, you know, I really missed everybody. And I think what we're really thankful for is the people we work with, because when we come to work every day, we feel like we're seeing our other family. We have such a wonderful group of people here. Everyone likes everyone. Everybody's great at their jobs. So I'm very thankful for that, because it took us years to get to the point of having such a fabulous team. And I must say, I'm also thankful, because we do have to make payroll every 2 weeks, I'm thankful that the economy has gotten better and that book sales have gotten better. That's a really wonderful thing. It looks like it's going to be a great Christmas for us as a company.
Fantastic. Congratulations. That's wonderful. And how about you personally? What are you thankful for this year?
Well, I always go back to basics. I'm thankful for our four wonderful, healthy, happy, successful children who are all pursuing their passions. One of them just got a new job yesterday. One of them got a dream job a couple of months ago. They're all doing what they love. All four of them have a special significant other. Two of them are already engaged to be married, and we have two weddings coming up in 2014, hoping for even more. My husband's slogan is 4 and 14. I don't think we're going to achieve that, but we're on the path. We're on that good path. So I'm very thankful that I have these wonderful kids who are all so happy.
Wonderful. Please tell us about Chicken Soup for the Soul, latest edition, It's Christmas. It's a wonderful book. I love reading it. The stories are funny. They're heartfelt. And it's a really wonderful addition for this year, especially during this holiday season.
I love this book. This is one of my favorite covers we've ever done. If you get a chance to look at it on Amazon, all of you listening, it's Chicken Soup for the Soul, It's Christmas, and it has these two snowmen. The snow is falling down all over the cover, so there are snowflakes everywhere, and it's red and white, and it's just so happy and fun. It just makes me smile whenever I look at it. I think I'm going to make little printouts of this cover and put them on the Christmas tree this year because it's so pretty. So it is a great book. What we did with this one was we tried to focus on really happy stories, lots and lots of funny stories. You know, those funny Christmas disasters mm-hmm. that become part of, you know, part of the traditional stories that families tell every year and laugh about mm-hmm. over and over and over again. So mm-hmm. there's lots of really fun stories that will make you laugh. And I like it because the stories are short, and so people are busy this time of year. And some people say they even need a little jump start to get into the Christmas mm-hmm. spirit. So mm-hmm. you pick this up. A story takes a few minutes to read. You can read it, you know, while you're waiting at the doctor's office, while you're waiting in the carpool line to pick up your kid at school, whatever. In those tiny spare moments, you can read a story, and it will really brighten your day. And it really brightened our days making the book. And, of course, we had to make the book last summer because
right.
for us, Christmas really occurred last summer. It always occurs in the summer. Like right now is Easter for us. Right mm-hmm. now we're making our Easter displays, but it's funny, I've been doing this now for 6 years, and we have mm-hmm. Christmas every summer at the office, basically. And then all of a sudden, Thanksgiving rolls around, and I say, oh, my gosh, it's the real Christmas. I have to go back into the real world and have Christmas now, even though I actually have it in July at work. So I guess that's kind of good because we get Christmas twice a year.
Wonderful. That's exciting. Coming back to the cover of the book, I like the back of the book as well because you have this beautiful red cup with marshmallows and hot chocolate. It's just beautiful.
Yeah, it is. I picked that out. I love that. And I think we put that inside the book too. We have a little mm-hmm. bit of artwork at
right.
the beginning of each chapter. And I'm pretty sure, what did we put there? Yeah, we put that in front of each chapter also. Well, I think that is a cup of hot cocoa with marshmallows in a red mug. I mean, you can't get mm-hmm. more Christmassy than that, right? Even
yep.
if you live in the southern, oh, actually, there's a lot of snow this year down south also, but no matter where you live, winter is all about cocoa and marshmallows.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's just a beautiful piece. It is very well designed, for sure. It's very warm and very engaging. Sometimes when we pick up a book, even though it's an excellent read, but it's not as engaging and warmth as the presentation in itself. This particular book, every chapter has that wonderful cup. It's just very, very engaging. That's what I like about it. And your book, of course, is divided into 10 different sections with 10 different headings, and that's interesting. I mean, for someone, I'm just being naughty here, so I would definitely go to the naughty list first.
Yeah, well, it's true. We have a whole chapter just about things that happen with dogs and cats at Christmas time, mm-hmm. where, you know, dogs and cats can be up to some shenanigans at Christmas time. Stories about that.
That's
and,
wonderful.
Yeah, this was so much fun to make, and it was so much fun to make the chapters. We had to leave a lot of great stories behind because we really try to stick to our 101 or else the books get
right.
you know, too big to pick up. I mean, they're already, but this book is really heavy. It's
right.
a big, fat book, but it's just chock full of these fun stories.
It is. I mean, it is 399, 400 pages long, but the interesting part about it is, like you say just now about the pets, because this is not only just for human beings connecting families and so forth, and to some people, their pets are their family. You have some wonderful stories here about pets contributing their input in the holiday celebration.
That's right. And we start the book with a note from Santa. Santa wrote the foreword to the book. And Santa advises people not to get too stressed out about Christmas because he says, remember, you need to save enough energy to make my cookies on Christmas Eve, don't you?
Wonderful. Why do people get so stressed out during the holiday seasons?
I think it's because we want to please everyone, and There's so many traditional things we all do for every Christmas, and those things are quite time-consuming. The ways that we decorate our homes, the Christmas cards if we send them, the presents, the wrapping. I mean, just the wrapping takes forever. Everything takes forever, but we don't really want to give up any of these traditions. Mm-hmm. And I really think in my case, I would get really stressed out if I tried to do every single fabulous idea that I had for things to do. I mean, I'm always thinking of new fabulous things I could do, and it's all about pleasing other people and making Christmas and Thanksgiving as special as possible for everyone. And so I know for me, I always have to fight that impulse and kind of dial it back down to what I can actually do.
I think Christmas time allows the adults to be kids again, because we're all kids in our heart anyway, so it allows us to play.
I think that's true. And yeah, we do get to be kids again. I know I always feel that way about Santa and the reindeer and all of that. I think we all remember the magic of Christmas when we were children, and we like to relive that. And if we don't have any little kids around, we get to be the little kids ourselves. And I think that we all kind of lower the tacky meter. I know at Christmas time, I pretty much shut off what I call my tacky meter and things that I would consider to be kind of tacky at other times of year. I'm all in at Christmas. Everything's great at Christmas time.
That's wonderful. Do you have a strategy in keeping the right attitude during the holiday season?
I just try to focus on what's important, which is being with family, and I just keep fighting the impulse to do too much stuff. Like last year, I cut way back on the outdoor lighting because I just can't do it all.
Although right now,
and I know no one in my office is going to listen to this, so I can safely say this to you, I'm seriously thinking about sneaking in here on Saturday and decorating the office for Christmas. I don't know if I could pull it off. So there I am violating my own rule about doing less, and here I am thinking about doing something more that I've never done before.
Yeah. But if the excitement comes from being able to surprise people, though, I think that's the difference. And then because it is the holiday season, like you say, you're not out of bounds.
That's right. You can do anything at Christmas time.
Yeah.
And you can wear those clothes you would never wear the rest of the year. You can wear those Christmas ornament earrings. I have a Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer plastic pin that's about 3 inches tall. And it has a light-up nose. And when you push the nose, it blinks, and the pin plays a Christmas song. And I wear that every Christmas. I wouldn't be caught dead in something like that the rest of the year.
It's like, you're the publisher of Chicken Soup? Is that right?
Yeah.
With the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Yes,
absolutely.
I am, of course.
Hey, I can't resist. I wore a red jacket today, a red scarf. I'm already into it. The red season is starting.
Wonderful. What do you look forward most during Christmas?
Being with my kids, because none of them live near me. I've got one, I'm in Connecticut, I've got one all the way out in California, one in Washington, D.C., one an hour away in New York, and one in Rhode Island. And so you never get enough time with your kids. And so I really look forward to spending time with my kids and their fiancés and boyfriends, girlfriends. That's what I like, is seeing the four kids and then the four significant others. That makes me incredibly happy. That's what I want the most at Christmas, is to see all of them.
Wonderful. And, of course, they get a chance to see you with your Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer pin, acting goofy and all that kind of stuff. So it's like,
yeah,
ooh.
They get to worry. They get to worry about their gene pool. Yeah, I know. I'm always like, don't worry, you take after your father in this regard. You won't be wearing the crazy pin when you're 50.
That's interesting. What is the greatest holiday message in the book, It's Christmas?
Well, I guess the book, the selection of stories, reflects my own beliefs. And so I think there are three major themes in the book. One is that being together with your loved ones is the most important thing, whether you have money to buy presents, don't have money, no matter what you do, being together is what really matters. Another really major theme is the joy of giving, because mm-hmm. people don't really write about the joy of receiving. They all write about the joy of giving. And then the third theme is fun, just making the holidays fun, fun, fun. There don't have to be some obligation where you're sleep-deprived and stressed and exhausted from everything that you're doing. You know, another theme is just plain have fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree with that. I think the biggest mode that we get into is to give, no question about that. And then there are a lot of us out there that have difficulty in receiving.
That's true. I've seen people, they somehow don't think they're worthy of receiving. And if they really thought it through to the next step, they would realize that in graciously and gratefully receiving, they're actually giving, because they're giving a gift to the person who's
that
giving
gift.
Them the gift. If they don't receive it graciously, they're depriving that person of the joy of giving. So
that's right.
If somebody gives you something and you feel like, oh, they shouldn't have spent the money, or you're not worthy, or be grateful and gracious about receiving the gift, because really, they take joy in giving it to you. It doesn't really matter if you are joyful in receiving it. What matters is that you let them have their joy of giving.
Right. And that's a big difference. And for anyone out there who doesn't want to receive, I can give you all my address. Y'all could mail everything over to me. I'm just kidding. I have selected several stories from the book as talking points for this morning. And they're wonderful stories, and I can assure you there are tons more wonderful stories. But these are the ones that sort of really cool. When I read them, I really connect with them, and I like what it stands for and so forth. Can you please give us a short rundown of these stories?
Well, I know that the first one that you really loved was mm-hmm. actually one that I loved, too, because I made it the very first story in the book. And when something's the very first story in the book, you know that I like it.
Yeah.
And so it's called Something to Give. It's by Diane Stark, who's one of our regular writers, and she's had her ups and downs, and she's shared them all with our readers. So she was sharing a downtime that she had in 2005. Her husband had just asked her for a divorce. She was really tight on money. She was, you know, on the verge of tears all the time, and she saw one of those guys ringing the bell and, you know, ask for donations, and she started crying and said, I'm really sorry, but I don't have anything to give this year. And then he said, no, you got it all wrong. We all have something to give. And he said, you can give someone a smile. You can give someone a listening ear. You can give someone a kind word or a hug.
Mm-hmm.
You always have something to give. Money is not the only thing you can give. And so then many years later, I think it was last year, she and her son volunteered to ring the bell by the Salvation Army kettle, and someone came up to them who was really upset and said she didn't have any money to give. And this Diane was able to pass on the same message and make that woman smile. And so that was really nice. And that, you know, had a huge impact on her. And I think it's true. We all have good times and bad times, and some Christmases are thinner than other Christmases, right? And the fact is, we do have a lot of stories in here about people who don't have a lot of money to give presents, and they make presents, and then often it's reported as the best Christmas the family ever had.
Right. It's coming back to what we talk about, the joy of receiving and the joy of giving, and it comes back here to the idea of sometimes you may not realize it, but just the smile that you give or the time that you give someone to just to listen to them made a whole lot of difference to that person, and it's priceless.
It is, and you know, we have another story that I know was one of your favorites also.
Mm-hmm.
It's called A World of Thanks. And it's by Lil Blossfield, who's another one of our regular writers, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And she wrote about a present that her daughter spent months putting together. And so it didn't cost anything, but it was an amazing present. Her daughter went away for the fall semester of college and did one of those, you know, study abroad experiences in Europe. And, of course, they really missed their daughter, Lil, and her husband. But she came home right before Christmas, and then Christmas morning she presented them each with a rectangular package and told them they had to open their gifts simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
The packages were large frames containing four pictures each, and they also had a collage in them of admission passes from art galleries and museums and little coins and currency from around Europe. And the best thing was that she had pictures taken of her throughout her journey.
Mm-hmm.
And in each picture, she held up a sign with a different word on it, and put together the pictures spelled out, "Thank you, Mom and Dad, for giving me the world."
Mm-hmm.
And so it was an incredible way that this girl came up with to thank her parents for her semester in Europe. And, of course, they have these collages on their wall now. And she actually sent us pictures of all the photos.
Mm-hmm.
So we were thrilled.
Mm-hmm.
We got to see all of them. We have this great relationship with our contributors, and now because
mm-hmm.
of the internet,
mm-hmm.
it's so easy. We
right.
get photos all the time, and we get to actually see this stuff. And when we set up our new website, we'll be able to put stuff like that on our website so that all our readers will get to see these things too.
Right, right. It's a wonderful story. I connected with the story simply because my mom passed on earlier this year in March, and one of the things that a long time ago we used to talk about, like parents always say, you know, what else can I give you? What else do you need? And one of the things that we talk about, and this is in particular situation where we have a house in Malaysia, and it was given to me and my sister. I told my mom, just give it to my sister. My mom said, well, it is your inheritance, and you're not going to have anything. I said, no, what you and Dad did by sending me to the United States, that's my inheritance. And so she was like overwhelmed. I said, that's all I need. I mean, the rest, I want my sister to have everything she could have in Malaysia. And so anyway, when I read the story, it really connected to me at that level. So just wanted to share that. So like I was telling you, like you have some wonderful stories in there that no telling how it connects with certain individuals.
Oh, it's true. It's true. I mean, everybody has a different favorite story in these books.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is definitely true. And I never have one favorite because there are so many that connect with
yeah.
me on all different levels. So, you know, speaking of homemade Christmases, the next one that you identified is actually perfect for this week because it's
mm-hmm.
called The Thanksgiving Christmas. And there are a lot of people who actually can get together with their whole family on Thanksgiving and not on Christmas, which is my own situation. Like last
yeah.
year, we had all four kids with us Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, and I think this year they're going to go to other families and to their father's house, and with them all, you know, getting
mm-hmm.
married or linked up with somebody, that's going to become a bigger and bigger problem. So this story is inspirational because what this family did was they went to the grandparents for Thanksgiving, and then one of the 10-year-olds said, I wish we could have Christmas here. He said, you know, that he never got to see his grandmother open her present, and his grandmother said, that's true, I never get to see you open my present either. And so the grandma said, let's have Christmas today.
Mm-hmm.
And so the family jumped into action, and they went outside and got a little pine tree that was going to be cut down anyway, brought it inside, came up with some homemade decorations, went and made homemade presents. The whole family got into the action, and they were making things out of construction paper, and they were gluing things and using glitter and painting things. And then the grandparents put the Christmas music on the stereo, and they decorated the tree with their homemade decorations. And they had Christmas on Thanksgiving. And the woman who wrote the story, Nancy Sweetland, said,
mm-hmm.
it was nowhere near Christmas. We didn't have a beautiful tree. The gifts cost nothing except time and love. But
mm-hmm.
from start to finish, it was the most memorable Christmas my family ever had. So I thought that was really nice. And it's
yeah.
actually a a really interesting idea, and maybe one I will do one year is have Christmas at Thanksgiving if the kids can't all be with me on the actual Christmas.
And especially, like you said, today, where families are all over the place, you really can quite get everyone together at certain times, so everybody wants everybody to be around at a specific time. So in this case, is what you make out of it, a special event like that, and you just create Christmas. And it's just beautiful.
Yeah, and I'm not one of those needy moms who, you know, uses guilt to get everybody to show up. Like, I share nicely, you know, with the other families. So, yeah, so this might work for me. Now, the next story that you told me that you loved is about a Christmas tree also. It's about a family that couldn't afford a tree. They were just going through one of those down times. And their 7-year-old daughter, Annie, she announced that she was going to solve the problem. She entered a coloring contest at the local nursery, and she said she was going to win first prize, which was money, and then she was going to use that money to go and buy supplies to make Christmas presents and also to buy a tree. And so she made a picture of a tree, and there were a lot of entrants to the contest.
Mm-hmm.
And while this family's financial situation got worse and worse, this little girl was so excited and was convinced she was going to win the prize and win the money to buy the tree and the presents. And when the judging day finally came, the little girl did not win first prize. She did not win the money. But what they hadn't realized was what third prize was. She won third prize, and it was a Christmas tree, which was the biggest gap they had in their Christmas. And so the story is called Annie's Little Christmas Miracle, and it is very cool that this little girl came through that way and actually won the Christmas tree for her family.
I thought it was a beautiful story because it's something that people can relate to. I mean, and this is where I think you and I over the years have known and believing in faith and so forth. It's sort of like it's a range. You'll get what you need. And it works out very well for Annie.
Yeah, it was great. And I put the chapter title, that story's in a chapter called Miracles Happen.
Yeah.
And it just so happens that we are sending Miracles Have Today. It's a book that's coming out in February with 101 stories just like that about these fabulous miracles that happen that really does give you faith in the fact that if you wish for something, it might come true. Or that things will work out somehow.
Yeah, yeah. It's fabulous, wonderful. The next one I thought is really cool because I'll let you tell the story, Sharing a Legacy of Love by Kathy Malaya Levine.
Okay, so that one, I guess a lot of people have had, you know, a grandparent or a parent pass away, and you think everything's just fine in your family until it comes to divvying up the money or divvying up the personal possessions of the person who passed away. And so Kathy was in a family where she thought that everything was fine, and everything was fine after her mother died until Christmas came and it was time for the nativity set. And Kathy's sister Joanne said that she wanted it because it was the only one of her mother's possessions that she really wanted. So she didn't need anything else. She just wanted that one thing. And so everybody said, that's fine. You can have that. That's the only thing you want. Please take it. But then their niece found out and said that the grandmother had always said that she would give the nativity set to her. And so the daughter said no. She wouldn't give it to the niece. The niece wouldn't budge. And it was going to turn into a full-blown family feud. So Kathy went out and found a craftsman to make an exact duplicate of the nativity set. He even duplicated the dings and the flaws that were in the original. For example, the original had come with a lopsided front gate on the stable. Mm-hmm. It was just a flaw. It had come with that new, and the craftsman even put the same lopsided front gate on the copy. And the craftsman wouldn't charge them anything for it. He charged them $3.75 for the materials, and he wouldn't charge them anything for the labor because he just felt like he was giving their family a fabulous Christmas gift.
Mm-hmm.
And so peace was maintained in the family, and now the sister and the niece both have the nativity set, and they're exact the new one is an exact duplicate of the old one.
Mm-hmm. It's just a wonderful story. It talks about being rational, and sometimes families get into this kind of situation. I've run into lots of families after the death of loved ones, and they get into this thing about fighting over things, and sometimes it gets silly. In this particular case, obviously, it was resolved amicably and beautifully.
Yeah, which is lucky, because I've mm-hmm. seen families break apart over this kind of
right.
thing. So
right,
I right. know, it's true.
So now we're coming to the naughty list, which is actually my favorite part. So.
Well, you actually picked out one of my favorite stories. I laughed so hard when I read this story. Mm-hmm. Joyce Laird wrote it, and she wrote about the fact that she was brining her turkey in the kitchen sink, which I didn't even know what brining was. I just found out you put the turkey in salt water and it
right.
it pulls out the moisture so that you can then re-infuse the turkey with new moisture. For me, you know, if I have to make the turkey, I order it from Whole Foods, and then I just stick it in the oven and rewarm it. But anyway, her turkey was brining in the kitchen sink, and then her three little girls started screaming that the bird had come alive. And she and her husband ran into the kitchen and found the supposedly dead bird hopping all over the place. And the three little girls and the family's dogs were going crazy. And her husband didn't even want to touch it. Like, he was scared because this turkey had come alive. And then the mystery was solved when a set of whiskers and a little paw appeared. Their cat had gotten inside the turkey, was inside it, happily chewing his way out. And so from that day forward, the Laird family has always had roast beef on Christmas Day. But it has become, you know, their turkey disaster story has become a part of the family lore. And mm-hmm. I just loved that story because everyone has stories about dogs and cats
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
eating some kind of special meal or ruining some special meal. And everyone always tells the stories with such fondness for the dogs or the cats.
It's a wonderful story. It's funny.
Yeah, it is. And then we had another funny one right after it.
Yeah.
And I loved this one. Alan Zakhar wrote it, and he wrote about the fact that he decided to go and help his elderly parents, and he put their Santa Claus up on their roof. And he got up there, and he's, you know, feeling good, working away at it, and goes up on a ladder, gets on the roof. He's got tension cords. He's got masking tape. He's got Santa. He's not scared at all. He thought that he had conquered his fear of heights, so he was really the manly man doing this work. And then all of a sudden, he got vertigo, and he just fell down on the roof, and he couldn't move. And he lay there for 10 or 15 minutes, and he realized he could not go to that ladder and get back down. And he didn't have a cell phone on him. And it was getting dark because it gets dark so early. Nobody was going to even see him on the roof. He sat there for 2 hours. And cars would pass by, and he would wave at them desperately. And they would just wave back, thinking that he and Santa were waving at them. And he just thought, I'm going to be stuck up here forever. And then the neighbor across the street came out, and he waved to her. She waved back. She thought they were just having a nice conversation. And finally, he said, Mrs. Johnston, please call my brother. I'll give you his phone number. I can't get down from the roof. I'm scared. And so this 80-something-year-old woman climbs up the ladder and talks him down, which is really funny because, you know, you're always a mother. You're always a mother to anybody else. And so she's the mom, and she talks him down from the roof. And he is he's okay with it. He's willing to share the story with hundreds of thousands of readers about how he got stuck on the roof with Santa. So I liked that because I love self-deprecating stories, of course. It's always nice when our writers will share a little embarrassing moment.
This is, of course, from a guy, too. So, like you say, it's a manly man, and I'm up there doing all kinds of things. And the first thing that comes to mind when I was reading that, it reminded me of a Chevy Chase movie, The Griswold, decorating the house, full-blown deal and so forth. And then, of course, things don't work out the way it should.
Yeah, we had a guy in one of our other Christmas books who wrote how he was really, really proud because he strung Christmas lights across his entire house. He had never done it before. His wife said he wouldn't be able to do it. He put them up perfectly spaced, little plastic clips holding them on, did the whole house. And then when he was done, he realized that he had started with the wrong end. And so he ended on the roof with the electrical plug end.
Yeah.
And he, at the ground level, he had just the bulb. And so he had to take the whole thing down and start over again. I'm sure everyone has had that experience of of having the electrical connection at the wrong end. That's
wonderful.
A helpful tip, right? Well, a few people won't make that mistake this year.
No kidding. Wait, only guys do that, though, you see. That's the thing.
No, women do it, too. We do.
The next one, this is wonderful. It's very touching. And, again, this connects with people in terms of friends making a big difference in one's life. And this section is called A Little Help from My Friends. The story is The Perfect Gift by Vicky Kitchener.
Yeah, Vicky's mom was coming home from the hospital for the holidays, and her long battle with cancer was coming to an end. Everyone knew this was going to be her last Christmas. And her mom was already really weak, and the pain medication was leaving her foggy and lethargic. And she had really withdrawn. And I mean, I don't know if you've had any friends die from cancer, but that's often the case at the end, where people just withdraw into themselves and start to separate themselves from the living. So she just sat in her wheelchair in front of the Christmas tree, silently, lost in thought. And so the family really felt bad because she wasn't enjoying her last Christmas at all. And then word got out in the neighborhood that the mom was home for the holidays. And so friends and neighbors started trickling in. And soon they started telling this woman's mother how much she had touched their lives. And they started telling her about all the different acts of kindness she had performed for them. And something really magical happened. The stories made the mom realize how important she was and drew her out of her shell. And her eyes began to twinkle, and she started to laugh at the stories. And she ended up having a really wonderful Christmas with all of these people telling her how much they meant to her. And I guess that's an important point. You know, sometimes when you have these Christmas gatherings and there's an older person there who can't keep up with the conversation, who doesn't hear as well, who doesn't understand all the references to iPads and apps and you know, new terminology.
Right.
The person just sits there and you can see the conversation is swirling around them and they're not really involved. And I guess it's a good reminder to talk to that person about the past. That's really what they want to talk about. When they're quite elderly, they want to talk about the past. They're not as interested in the present.
Right.
And you need to involve them, because why should they feel that Christmas is just swirling around them? Why not feel that Christmas involves them also? So it was a good reminder of the power of talking directly to an older person and bringing them back into the conversation.
Mm-hmm. And it's a wonderful wealth of information, reminiscing the past, because Christmas is all about the joyful time that you're looking back and the wonderful one-on-one, the special memories that you have created over the years.
That's right, like the times when the dog wrecked the turkey, absolutely.
The next one is very interesting. Actually, I like this story because of the fact that we have thousands of our service people overseas, and whether they're in a combat zone or just a station in different bases that we have around the world, I think this is a wonderful story that really could connect with them and connect with, I think, just about everyone else as well.
Yeah, it really is interesting. Even though we have fewer people now deployed in official war zones, mm-hmm. we do have military personnel deployed all over, and their families as well, who, you know, maybe the nuclear family is together wherever they are, but they're certainly not able to see their extended family. I just came back from vacation in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
We were on Oahu, and I was flabbergasted to hear that 25% of the population of Oahu is military and their families.
Mm.
I had
no idea.
I was absolutely shocked. It's a wonderful place to be. But I was still shocked that 25% of the population of that island is U.S. military and their families. So here we had a woman whose husband was actually deployed in Iraq, and her kids were 4.5 and 3 years old. It was the first year they really understood Christmas and Santa, and her husband was going to miss it. And she also worried about, did they really understand that they had a father and that he was away? And so she wasn't sure what to do, and she wasn't sure if it would upset the kids, but she took a chance, and she took two pictures that her husband had sent her from Iraq, and she framed one for each child to open on Christmas morning. And the kids opened the pictures, and they loved them. They knew exactly who it was, and they hugged it, and she was so happy that, first of all, she didn't make her kids sad by showing them a picture mm-hmm. of mm-hmm. their father, but also they really did incorporate their father, therefore, into their Christmas day. And so that was a really nice story that made me feel really good, and I was so happy that she used her mother's intuition and did the right thing for her children.
Yeah, yeah. That's wonderful. It's a beautiful story. And finally, this is something very interesting, and we talk a lot about this, about how memories, perhaps at that moment when things happen, of course, in the situation where whether you're on the roof or having your cat in the turkey may not be something funny and exciting, but you are creating memories, and obviously this particular section, Making Memories, is a beautiful way to end the book. And you have a beautiful story about Made with Loving Hands by Jay Lewis.
Yeah, so, I mean, we do have a lot of stories about people who decide, they either decide not to spend money for Christmas because the family unit is saving up for something, like a vacation or maybe a new kitchen floor or whatever, or their situation is just not good this year, and so they decide to have a very lean Christmas. And so Jay Lewis wrote about how this was going to be their leanest Christmas ever, and they thought they wouldn't give any gifts, but the children were young, so they decided that they would still have gifts for the children, but it would be very quiet, and the kids would all make their own gifts, and she and her husband would make gifts for each other. And she didn't see her husband for many days before Christmas. He always seemed to be off doing something, and Christmas morning came, and everyone loved all of their homemade gifts, and then she opened hers last because, of course, that's what moms always do. We always open our presents last. And she opened the box, and she heard a little tinkle sound in it, and she pulled it out, and her husband had made her by hand a beautiful porcelain carousel with tiny horses and a roof and a music box, and he had painted it. He had fired it in a kiln. He had assembled the whole thing, and this was her big husband with big hands, a former electrician in the Navy, and so it was the best Christmas gift she ever received. And we often get stories like that from people saying it was the Christmas where they spent the least money, and it was their favorite Christmas ever when they think back on all the Christmases that they had. Not that you shouldn't spend lots of money on books, by the way. Just want to add that.
Right. It's true. Well, what happened is that it is a gift from the heart. And I think in hindsight, when people were looking at things and they realized that's what really matters in the end.
Yeah. So that's true. And, yeah, we really do focus on that a lot because I know you wanted to know what one of my favorite stories was about family. Mm-hmm. And it turns out it's also a story about the joy of giving because it's Lynn Lady wrote it, and she had a daughter and son who were grown up, and they were trying to think of ways to make their Christmas more memorable, and it wasn't really about giving objects anymore, toys and all of that. And so they started a system they called the 12 Days of Christmas, where each day they would open a slip of paper and they would get something special, and they would do an act of kindness for someone. And then they went to a restaurant, and a man who was sitting at the table behind them secretly paid for their whole meal.
Mm-hmm.
And they just couldn't believe it, and he wasn't there anymore. And the waitress said, in the 8 years I've been working here, I've never seen anyone do that before. So they decided that they would pay it forward, you know, and they would perform acts of kindness for other people. So now they have a tradition that every Christmas they're going to take $100 and use it all up before Christmas to do random acts of kindness for other people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So pay for somebody's coffee when they, you know, all of a sudden reach for their wallet and realize they left it in the car at Starbucks.
Mm-hmm.
Or stop to spend a few minutes in conversation with someone and give them a little gift. But anyway, I thought that was nice because now their family tradition revolves around little acts of kindness to strangers, including using $100 towards those little acts of kindness. That's a really nice family thing. Now, if I could get my kids to come home for enough days, we could do that too. But I don't think that's going to work out. They're too busy.
It's a beautiful story. To a child, Santa is very important during the Christmas season. What's your favorite story about Santa in the book?
First of all, I want to mention to your listeners, because they might be wondering about this, and all of the Christmas books that we publish, that I've published for the last 6 years, they're all what I call Santa safe. You parents out there know what I'm talking about. We keep the magic of Santa alive for any young readers who happen to get their hands on our books. So I just want to make that clear. So this story is actually about a man who dressed up as Santa and worked as Santa at a mall. Of course, not the mall that a real Santa is, but sometimes he has assistants at other malls.
Right.
And so this man was playing Santa at one of those other malls, and he was in his 20s, this young man who was playing Santa, and he was really getting upset because it seemed to him like every child just had a long list of presents that the child wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And he even gave one child an orange and a candy cane, and the child said, "Is that all we get?" Which is just awful. I mean, I don't know. My kids weren't like that, but I guess there are some like that. And so he was feeling really dejected, like his holiday joy and goodwill were taking quite a hit. And then he was finally done for the day, and he was so glad he was done for the day. And then a young mother came running through the door and said, "Santa, would you please take a moment for my little girl?" So he sullenly sat back down, and that this little girl really charmed him, and he asked her what she wanted for Christmas, and she said, "Anything you have left over, Santa."
Mm-hmm.
And he asked her again, and she said, "Really, anything that you have left over would be fine." And then she turned to him and said, "What would you like for Christmas, Santa?" And after weeks of being a Santa, this was the first time that any child had asked him what he would like for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
He was absolutely shocked, and he blurted out, "Santa would like a hug," and she hugged him, and changed everything for him. Now he was really feeling the Christmas spirit again. So I liked that because we do have to sometimes think about all those people out there who are playing these roles at Christmas time and what is it like for them. Mm-hmm. So this was an inside look at one mall Santa's day.
Right. That comes back to full circle in terms of giving, and then receiving. And in this case, it's a wonderful story about a simple gesture from this child in giving a hug. And that makes a big difference by just asking, what do you want? What can I give you?
Yeah, it was really nice. Really was. It makes me look forward to the Secret Santa thing we're doing in our office this year.
Fantastic. What is one of your favorite funny stories in the book?
Okay, I have a story that I love, and it really works for Thanksgiving, too. It's about this woman, Mariah Morin, and she thought she had it all figured out. When her turkey needed defrosting, she made sure that the cats were nowhere in sight, which is smart. Remember that cat story we talked about?
Right.
And she put the turkey safely on her desk in her den, and she closed the door. And she went back an hour later to get the turkey, to put the turkey on the table, and she found her dog licking his lips next to the carcass. She had locked her dog in the office with the turkey. She was so intent on making sure the cats weren't around, she forgot all about the dog. So a friend of hers called her to wish her a happy Christmas, and she burst into tears on the phone with the friend, and the friend marshaled the whole neighborhood, and the whole neighborhood turned out to help, and they contributed turkey parts. So she had the equivalent of a whole turkey again because she had 30 guests coming.
Mm-hmm.
So she was really in trouble when the dog ate the turkey. And by the way, she does relate that the dog was in trouble too. He did not have a happy Christmas day after that. He was really sick. But I just thought that was hysterical that she so carefully locked the turkey in her office and locked the dog in there with it.
Well, the dog didn't turn out to be a god dog after all.
That's right.
Are there any other products that you guys have at Chicken Soup that you have put together as wonderful gifts?
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of Christmas books because we put one out every year or two, and they're all terrific. But we also have food this year, and that's new for us. And we actually have a special deal now on our website. Our website, you go to chickensoup.com, and if you click on, you'll see an ad on the left side that talks about some promotions we're doing on our food, because we know our food is not available in every state yet, although the number of grocery stores carrying it is going up every week. And so a lot of people have said to us, how can we get the food?
Yeah.
And so basically, if we ship you the food, we can't make any profit on it, but that's okay. We have these new promotions we're doing where we don't make any profit at all, but the key is to get the food into people's hands, and so we're covering the shipping cost. And so if you go to our website and you click on this special food offer, you have to put in a code to get it, and the code is Channel 7. It's just the word channel, space, and then the numeral 7. And you can buy the food at no markup from us with the shipping included, and you can get our soups, you can get our gravies, you can get some of our other food products, our pasta sauces, our meal builder sauces, and also these really cool mugs that everybody's going crazy over that are beautiful and have a little ceramic spoon built into the handle. So that would make a wonderful gift for the holiday season. So anyway, our books and our food are both out there waiting to make wonderful gifts, and I always love gifts that people can eat up and not take up more room in their homes, you know?
Right. Yeah. You guys have some wonderful promos besides the book, and like say you have the food products, and I know the grocery store that y'all use is HEB, correct? If I'm not mistaken, that carries your food.
Now we have our pasta sauces are in HEB in Texas, and now we have our soups and our pasta sauces and our gravies and our flavored broths and other products rolling out across the country. And if you go to chickensoup.com and you click on the button that says food, there's actually a map of where our food products are sold now, and there's a list of all the grocery chains that have them.
Fantastic. That's great. That's wonderful. By the way, we're coming close to the end of the hour, since our show is about people, family, and living life, and, of course, during this holiday season. Do you have a special recipe for living you want to share with our listeners for this wonderful holiday season?
I have 6 tips for reducing holiday stress, and
okay.
I have to keep referring to these myself to make sure that I follow my own advice. So I'll tell you my 6 tips. First is remember to use your positive thinking. So let's say you have to park a quarter mile away from the mall at the farthest end of the parking lot. Use your positive thinking and say, yay, I get 10 minutes of exercise today that I wouldn't otherwise have gotten. My second tip is count your blessings. Gratitude and thankfulness have been proven to make people healthier.
Mm-hmm.
So remember, the reason you have so much work to do for this holiday is because you have so many people who you love in your life. And a third tip is say no once in a while. If you don't want to bake 5 dozen cookies for next week's class party, don't do it. Just say no, or say you'll just send the paper plates and napkins instead. And then my fourth tip, and I think this is super important, is you don't have to be perfect. Your family and your friends are not going to remember next year whether you used paper plates this year or fine china. They're not going to remember whether you used plastic cups or whether you used wine glasses that had to be washed by hand. And they're not going to remember if you served them gourmet food or takeout. And then my 5th tip is take care of yourself. You know how they say put your oxygen mask on first?
Right.
You're not
going
to have time for your normal routine going into this period between Christmas and Thanksgiving. So if you can't do your normal exercise for an hour, squeeze in 15 minutes or sit down and read one Chicken Soup for the Soul story. Give yourself a few minutes of relaxation. And my 6th tip is take that to-do list and carve it into tiny pieces. And if you make it into little bite-sized pieces, you'll get through it a lot faster. And what I do is I always do the easy stuff first, because then by the time I get to the hard stuff, I say, why did I think that was so hard? And while you're at it, delete a few items from your to-do list. You'll never miss them. So that's how I get through the holiday season, publishing all of these books and trying to make a nice Thanksgiving and Christmas for my family.
See, you're so organized and very thorough, so regimented, so that's fantastic. So do you actually put all the X's on the chairs and who sit what where and so forth, and you got this little list?
Only if I'm having, say, 15 or 20 people, and I don't want, like, all the kids rushing to one table. You know, I want to spread the kids out so everybody gets to spend time with kids. I'll use place cards only in that situation.
Fantastic. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Amy, thank you for the wonderful recipe for living for the holiday season and for spending this with me on From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. To all our listeners, thank you for being with us. Please join me next Tuesday morning. My guest will be author Harry Goodsaw. We will be discussing his debut book titled Goal, The Extraordinary Side of Aging Revealed Through Inspiring Conversations. Henry undertook a 10-year project where he interviewed over 1,500 seniors to collect their wit, wisdom, joy, as well as pain. For additional information about this show and future shows, please go to fmmktalkradio.com. Thank you for listening and have a happy Thanksgiving. Amy, it has been a pleasure. Thank you again and happy Thanksgiving to you, your family, and loved ones.
Thank you so much. You too.
Bye-bye.